Save it one day by the grace of God. Amen. Before we go there, let me just emphasize what Stephen was saying every Wednesday now for the next 6 Wednesdays. Say 6 Wednesdays. I'll be at all of them because I've got to be. So we're looking forward to these. Why are they so important to Mosvale, the filling stations? Because this is our opportunity to serve the local church. And we've been hosting this event before it was a churches together thing. We were doing filling stations actually with one other church out of Erskine. So these nights are incredibly important to us as a church, because as much as people come here, we get blessed by people showing up here Wednesday by Wednesday. As Stephen said, there'll be 6 different speakers over the next 6 Wednesdays and 6 different worship bands leading us in worship. So I want to really encourage us as the host church. I know that life is busy for every single one of us, but we can make every effort to get down to some of these midweek services. And the topic matter is great. It's all about the Holy Spirit. Why would you not want to come and get in amongst the things of the Holy Spirit? So pray for week one. Week one tends to be really, really hard to get things going. So one of my best friend pastors, Ken, is speaking on Wednesday night. So pray for him. Pray for an anointing to be upon him and that things just break out from week one. If you're coming from Mosvale, it's very hard to be a visitor walking at your church and tend to look for seats at the back. This is your church, so I'm encouraging you to fill up the front 3 or 4 rows. Say 3 or 4 rows. That's not the 5th row. That's 3 or 4. So it's more comfortable for visitors coming in to sit in behind. Okay, we've got some volunteers to help us with tea and coffee, but we're still needing more on a week-to-week basis. So if you can help out with that, particularly someone who's done it before in the past, who knows how it works, if you can see me and help me out with that, that would be really fantastic. I want to thank Daniel for the scripture today. I've decided by the Holy Spirit not to use PowerPoints over the summer. Why? I want to encourage people to bring their Bibles to church over the summer. Hello? Not a Bible looks like. Some of you might, some of you might not. It's the Word of God, because we're going to just look at scriptures directly in the Word of God. I know you've got your phones, but I also know that people play games on their phones during services or in the sound room or in the balcony or stuff like that. So no mobile phones either. Just written Word of God starting from next Sunday. Oh, who's got a Bible? When was the last time you brought it to church? Oh, we're getting chastised already. He's just back 1 week. Try and bring your Bible with you. It's easier to follow along on scriptures. My desire, say my desire, because it should be for this summer, is as ever that every single one of us, and we've been challenged here throughout the year, will truly grasp hold of living out our lives what we really say we believe. Amen? Living out what we believe. Because there's quite a lot of hypocrisy in the world today. People who are doing one thing and then are saying one thing and doing the other thing, and on and on and on. I'd like to lay a wee foundation from Matthew chapter 6. And by the way, now we're in here, we'll be in here for the next 5 Sundays. So don't worry, we're going in here for the next 5 Sundays. I would like to look this summer at what it's like to live in the light of eternity. What it likes to look in the light of eternity. To actually really in your heart have the hope of Christ and to have the hope of eternity. I'm talking about that transforming the way that I approach every single situation and every relationship of life. Everything with a reflection on where I'm going. What does it look to live life in eternity in the here and now? And we read that in Matthew chapter 6. Because I want to suggest a few things to us for those who are taking notes and writing things down. I want to suggest that every single one of us live our lives based on how we understand the facts of the circumstances that surround us. That's how our life tends to play out. Listen to this. Two people in exactly the same situation can have very different expectations and reactions. Two colleagues can go to work and they can work that day side by side, basically doing the same shift, doing the same things, and then they go home and they express very different views and very different experiences of their day. You hearing this? Because here's what I see happening today. We are never just responding to the facts of our experience. We are always bringing some kind of personal beliefs that actually shapes that experience for us in our lives. And actually, I believe that can be a wonderful and very holy thing if you look at it from this perspective. In other words, we are unique from animals as human beings, made in the image of God, praise God, and we have the ability to do this, what I'm talking of. Think if you can, and I'm not talking about people hearing voices this morning, by the way, but think of the constant narrative that goes on in your mind. Think of the constant voice that you hear in your mind. That's your voice most of the time. We are, well, I'm going to personalize it then because you're not convinced. I am in a constant conversation with myself. Pretty much all the time. I am talking to myself all the time, and the things that I say or think about myself, about God and about life have become incredibly, believe it or not, deeply profound and deeply important to me. Maybe not to you, but deeply important to me. In other words, I am preaching to myself every day. All the time. All the time. I am actually my own best counselor. I am counseling myself every day. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work, but hey, it's my voice. And I hope that every one of us are encouraging ourselves every day, all the time. Some of us, we are defending ourselves all the time. In other words, we are in a constant conversation with ourselves all of the time. And that conversation, listen, that conversation is so important for our spiritual health and our spiritual well-being. You can come back. Thank you. I will. Hallelujah. Let's go to the scriptures. The scriptures we heard at the start from Matthew 6. Lay out for us the treasure. This is the treasure principle that as believers we must understand. And we must understand exactly what Jesus is saying and how this works. Why? Because everyone lives for some kind of treasure. Are you hearing this? Everyone lives for some kind of treasure. And when I'm saying that, you know already in your own life what that treasure is that you're seeking out. We all live for some kind of treasure. Why? Because it is part of being human that we place importance on things. We place importance on things. We invest our time. We invest our emotion. We invest, of course, our money, even at times we invest our credit. Everybody lives for some kind of treasure. And whether we realize it or not, we live trying to get, achieve, or own something, whether we acknowledge that thing or whether we don't. And the thing that is our, listen to this now, here we go. The thing that is our treasure is the very thing that's going to control your heart. Do you hear this? The thing that is our treasure is the thing that will control our heart. In the Bible, the heart is considered to be the seat of life or to be the seat of strength. It means mind, soul, spirit, our entire emotional nature and our very understanding. Our heart is the seat of our emotions. It is the seat of our motivations. It is the seat of our thoughts. It is the seat, actually, of our desires. So it is incredibly important when Jesus says in Scripture, for where your treasure is. Where your treasure is there your heart will be also. Wow. In the same scripture, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Interesting. Master is a term of control. Whatever, in other words, Jesus is saying, whatever controls your heart will then rule and shape our behavior. That means our behavior is always heart-shaped and then it's heart-exposing. Jesus only mentions here two categories of treasure. He says, let me say it again. Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth where moths and vermin, or some translations say rust, destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, Jesus says. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen. Where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Wow. See, sometimes we have to go through a purging process and a cleansing process. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had some vermin come into my house. And what do you do? I wasn't talking about you, Daniel. Stop smart laughing. And I don't know if you're the same as me, but when I know there's been a wee mouse or a wee thing in my house, everything in that cupboard is out. Dumped. Dumped in the bin. The hand sanitizers are on. The hand wipes are out. Roof, wall, everything's out. Binned. Why? Because sometimes it's the only way to get rid of things. What do you do when it's rust? Well, you cut back to the very edges and you treat it. You treat it properly so erosion and rust won't happen again. See, sometimes our lives need to be cut back a little bit and treated again by the Holy Spirit. Why? So we don't replicate the same sin over and over again. Sometimes we have to cleanse the house. Sometimes we have to take everything out and go right back to ground zero level, right back to where it begins. If we don't cleanse it properly, purge it properly, purify it properly, the chances are, if you leave that little hole, that little creature is going to come back in there again and eat through your bread and into your rice and into your stuff. And it's the same way as with sin. If we don't deal with it properly, cleanse ourselves, sanctify ourselves, then so often it returns and returns in a greater volume. So I'm just kind of digressing a little bit from what we're talking about there. Do not store up for yourself treasure on earth. Listen to me. Our lives, according to Jesus, are always, there's no in between here. There's no gray area. Our lives are always directed by either earthly treasure or it's shaped and directed by treasures in heaven. Praise God. Those are Jesus' two options for his followers. Earthly treasure. Now hear this today, it's important. Earthly treasure is all about present relationships, present possessions, present experiences, the nowness of the life that you and I are living is temporary. Jesus says they age, they decay, they lose their attraction, our cars, our homes, our mobile phones, our careers, even dare I say, some of our relationships, praise God. And treasures, look at that again, look at the scripture if you're reading it. And treasures in heaven relates to all of those things that you and I should be seeking. Treasure in heaven relates to all of those things that you and I should be seeking and thinking of every day with the much larger perspective of God's eternal plan. Every day, now listen to this, every day we are seeking Every day we are pursuing not just what these temporary things can give me, but relating to those things from the vantage point of the promises and the hope and sure destiny, listen, destiny of eternity. That actually can be a really practical and beneficial way for many of us to live. That this moment that I am in, think about that, where you are right now, what your standing is in the world, what your standing is in your job, what your standing is in your church, this moment I am in, this relationship that I am in, this situation that I find myself in, my response to what is before me is always shaped by a heart-driven pursuit of earthbound treasure, or shaped by a heart-driven pursuit of treasures in heaven. And these are things for you and I of eternal significance. These eternal treasures, things that would not make any sense whatsoever if there wasn't an eternity. If there wasn't a heaven, we are always pursuing one of those things. And dearly beloved, if we lose sight of God's plan, and it seems that the world we live in from top to bottom has lost sight of who God is and the greatness of God, and lost sight of God's plan, lose sight of the hope of glory, lose sight of the fact that this right now, this is not the destination, but this is meant to be a preparation for a final destination. Praise God. We find ourselves then ruled. We find ourselves controlled by the desires, the pressures, the experience, the relationship of this moment. It's almost like we are living in that moment as if we have no past. It's almost like we're living now in that moment as if we have no future. Our heart is shaped and controlled, and our behavior is formed in the here and the now. Stay with me. This is what earthly treasure does. Earthly treasure reduces this moment right down to the physical. That's what it does. That's exactly what it does. It makes everything present. It loses the eternal nature of life. It makes it all human. It misses the very spiritual nature of life that we are called to live. But, everyone say, but! That wasn't everyone. Say, but. But the first word, see, you have to get a Bible to see this. The first word of verse 33 is what? But. That's the transition word of this passage. And Jesus is basically saying, but don't live this way. And we could all quote this day in, day out. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Not the world's kingdom, not the world's righteousness, what the world has to offer, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. There's an old saying, an old saying, that one man's trash is another man's treasure. Because in many, many ways, value, like beauty in the eye of the beholder. See, my wife is stunning, isn't she? But my sons don't think their mother's stunning. Because beauty is in the eye of the beholder, of the one that loves you, the one that sees beyond all the physical, all the natural, all the other stuff, perhaps all the wee things that go on another person's life. Love looks way beyond that. Now, I've discovered that some people that I know, they like things like our vintage. That's why Gail likes me. Some people like things that are vintage. Some people like antique. Some people like classic. Others like the new, the modern, the fresh kind of look. You know, it's a very different world. Everyone has their opinions on what they think and what they like. So the treasures that we actually seek, they have an assigned value. Landfill or pride of place? Landfill or pride of place? Stay with me here. Because once we decide what value we place on things, for instance, belongings, our homes, our communities we live in, our jobs, even friendships, once they are assigned their value, here's what happens. They actually begin to exercise control over our lives. The issue with earthly treasure isn't just that there are valuable things that we desire, it's that the things that we value now form the way that we actually approach life. It's a fact. And what that means for you and I, what that means is there is surely is a potential for things that are not as valuable as I am now making them to all of a sudden rise to levels of value way beyond the true value and so begin to control my life. Are you hearing this? Comfort, pleasure, respect, success, control. None of these are evil in and of themselves, but they cannot rule me. They cannot rule my life. And so what this means is that this side of eternity, it has become more and more difficult for you and I to keep as important the things that God says are important. In fact, dear ones, listen, we need eternity to help keep important the things that God says are important. We need eternity to help us properly value the things that are in our lives, because otherwise they begin to control the way we respond to people in our lives. And Jesus, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus informs us that these treasures are always temporary. They get broken, they get stolen, they erode, they rust, they wear out. Jesus is saying to us, because of their temporary value, these things actually have no ability whatsoever to satisfy our hearts. They can't possibly give you what you're thinking. And so what these things do, and we see this in the world today, what these things do is they create obsession. They create addiction. And they create frustration. And that adds on disappointment, because this earth that you and I are living in can never be our Messiah. Never be our Messiah at any point. The creation cannot fulfill our heart. It's utterly, fundamentally impossible. It can't give us our identity. They can't give us meaning and purpose. They can't give us an inner sense of well-being. Only ever the eternal grace of God can give you that. Only. And when we expect earthly treasures to do that, expect people and expect circumstances to do that, then we become always demanding. Always demanding. We find ourselves becoming more and more controlling. Some become always fearful. Others become more disappointed. Others become even more angry, and things become a little bit messy and messed up for many of us. Let me digress, and even dare I say, for some, this can be your earthly ministry. We must never let our ministry become our Messiah. Because the minute we do stop ministering for those people and stop ministering for God, the focus of our ministry becomes us. Pastors and preachers have made their ministry their identity, and all across the world, many are paying the price for it. I believe in Scripture this morning, it is clear that Jesus is saying something so deep, something so profound, something so important, and I believe this is what it is. Listen to this. Our behavior See, behavior is a big thing for the believer. How we act out this Christian life. And what we do and what we say and how we live and where we go and what we engage and what we involve ourselves in and who we involve ourselves in. Behavior. Why is behavior so important? Because the world's always looking in. And Satan's always looking for a chink in your armor that he can seed something into to cause you to fall. And to bring you down. It's clear that Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 is saying something. And he's saying this. My behavior, our behavior in any given situation, relationship or location is always our attempt to move closer to what we treasure. Because that's exactly how you and I have been hardwired to live. Do you know, hallelujah, do you know, praise God, do you know why you have been hardwired to live for treasure? I'll tell you why then. It's because you were created to live for God. That's why you are hardwired to live for treasure. And according to Scripture, Jesus is the priceless treasure. Hardwired to live for God. But here's the problem. Sin. Sin has contaminated. Sin has eroded. Sin has corrupted. Sin has cut us off from eternity. Sin has cut us off from God. And all of that is the trauma of the soul, which many are experiencing. That is a result of living in direct pursuit of all the wrong treasure, when you and I have been connected to an eternal kingdom that cannot fail, that cannot fall. Praise God. And our lives right now, whether you see it or not, stretch beyond this moment. Stretch beyond this pain, beyond this disappointment, beyond this loss of our lives right now, stretches to the glory of eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. This is who you and I are called to be. Church, our hearts are always ruled by, and our lives are always shaped by, one of these two systems of treasure. And we are investing in earthly treasure or the eternal treasures of the kingdom of God. And that's true. That's true in every situation and in every relationship we find ourselves in. Just laid a foundation for the next few weeks. Bow your head this morning, if you will. Hallelujah. Praise God. We live for you alone, Lord. All that we desire, all that we hope for, is in you. Lord, it's you, only you, Jesus, that will satisfy the loneliness and the longing of hearts. Only you, Jesus, will fill the emptiness or the void that so often many of us feel. And forgive us. Forgive us when we have sought and went to seek out things that will not last. Things that last for a moment like a vapor and disappear. Rust and decay. Give us a fresh fixation today with who you are, Jesus. and cause us to desire you and long for you and long for love and peace and joy and goodness and kindness in the Holy Spirit. May our life be a mixture of all the ingredients of Jesus, because we know they are the treasures that truly satisfy our hearts, satisfy our lives, and these are the eternal treasures that you've put in place for us to receive. So I pray in the name of Jesus that we would step back and step away and recognize the things that won't last. And we're not saying, Lord, that these things are bad in and of themselves. But we're saying in these days that we are living in, if we don't have a holy expectation, holy fixation on Jesus, then these other things will become obsessive, needy for us. And may the need that we have today be the need for the love of Christ in our souls that pours out to the communities of our world, the nations of our world. And so cause us not to be distracted by the treasures of the world, which will eventually rot, decay, and become nothing. But cause us to look to you, Jesus, who has saved us and redeemed us and lifted us up and gave us a hope and given us a purpose that will last till the day we stand before you. So bless these dear folks this morning, Lord, in this room. And may our hearts continue to be captured and controlled by and given rest by the eternal treasures of the kingdom of God. As you remain seated this morning, the band are just going to play and sing a song. Just let the word that you've heard today just sink in. Just wait in God. Just open your heart to God. Once Peter's finished, Stephen will come and begin to close things up. Be blessed this morning. Amen, Peter.